Kent Tesey, farm management analyst and vice president at Minstar Bank.
Kent, farmers in southern Minnesota have had a couple of days to assess the damage from thunderstorms that moved through the area late Sunday night into early Monday morning. What kind of specifics can you give us as far as the extent of the damage?
Well, there was really about three parts to the damage. There was a very large area of hail damage that kind of started up in the Sibley County area and went through western Nicollet, a little bit of Brown County, or parts of western Brown County, and northern Blue Earth County. The brunt of the damage is probably in Sibley and Nicollet County, though those other areas certainly had some as well. But very large hail, a lot of crop damage, both to corn and soybeans, through that area. The second piece of it was some tornado touchdown in northern Blue Earth County, northwest Blue Earth County, that again, wasn't a big area, but did cause some property damage on about three farm sites, and also damaged probably slightly over 1,000 acres of soybeans, completely destroyed those acres pretty much as far as having much of a harvestable crop. And then the third piece is heavy rains in parts of Blue Earth County down into Faribault and Freeborn County, that 5 to 6 inches of rain that, again, came too fast and led to some standing water and probably some crop loss in some low-lying areas, especially in some soybean fields. So you had a variety of different losses out there, and certainly regardless of the type of loss, we're probably at the end of the window for any replant opportunities, for sure for corn and even for soybeans. Mid-July, we're probably only looking at 20 to 25 bushel an acre yield potential, and you know that would be less than half of a normal yield potential for most farms in southern Minnesota. So not a lot of good options there as far as any replants, so you're really dealing with salvage value and what's left, and then looking at whatever types of insurance policies you have.
Well, it certainly sounds like there's some certainty as far as acres that are a complete loss, but would you say there are also some fields or parts of fields where the corn or the soybeans still have a chance to bounce back, or were these weather events so extreme that where the rain and the wind and the hail hit, that there's really no recovering from that?
Well, as is typical with these type of storms, obviously the most severe damage, the crop is probably lost, but even in the same field, from one end of the field to the other, you can have a wide variation from either hail or wind, and obviously with standing water, on what happens. So in most cases, you're going to have part of a field that still has some harvestable crop, and in those situations, obviously, we won't know the end result till harvest time. One thing that kind of complicates things for these types of losses, now if you have hail insurance, obviously that coverage is field specific and based on so many dollars per acre of coverage, so there could be some compensation there if the loss was from hail. On either hail, wind damage, or drown-out damage with crop insurance, in most cases, unless the crop's totally destroyed, they're going to want to wait till harvest time to see what the actual loss was and how it compared to your guarantee. And a majority of farmers use enterprise units for their crop insurance, which means they're insuring all the acres of a given crop, corn or soybeans, in a county. And so even though you may have some pretty significant loss on a farm or two, you've got to weigh that against what your overall yields are. And if the overall yields end up being above average, you may not even have a loss that you can collect an indemnity payment. Now, for those farmers that paid a little higher premium and still had optional units where it's down to each township section, those farmers could be in line, or more likely at least, on some of these isolated losses to collect indemnity payments. So, but a lot of it's going to be a wait and see. It's going to be a wait and see on how much recovery there is, because some of the plants are partially damaged. Sometimes they can look like they're recovering good, and if you have a lot of stalk damage or stem damage, you can have further losses later in the season. You also got the challenges of weed problems that could come in the field or disease problems that come in once you've injured those plants. So you got a lot of other variables the rest of the growing season that could still affect those injured plants.
You never want crop loss because of severe weather, but as you look at the crop condition ratings in Minnesota for corn and soybeans, among the best numbers nationally at this point in the growing season, I would imagine that that just stings a little bit more when you see a weather event come through and hit a crop that was looking really good.
Well, yeah, most of the areas that got hit with the severe weather on Sunday evening in south central Minnesota are in areas that had probably good to excellent conditions for corn and soybeans. The crop has really improved in the last week of June and first 10 days of July here. And certainly the rainfall that came both Sunday evening and again on Tuesday where the severe storms didn't hit was highly beneficial because we're at a critical time with the corn, with tasseling and pollinating and also flowering with soybeans. So a lot of benefit there. And you know, that's what makes it difficult when you get these isolated severe storms is in the big picture of things, when you look nationally at corn or soybean production or even in the state of Minnesota, it just barely moves the needle as far as any impact. But certainly to those individual farm operators, especially if they got a high percentage of their acres that are impacted by these severe storms, it can be a very large financial impact. So it always makes it difficult when you're kind of the isolated situation. You know, it's a little different than when you're dealing with a drought or an early frost where kind of everybody gets affected the same. But in this case, you can have one person get severely impacted and their neighbor who's only a mile or two away didn't hardly have any damage, so it really makes it more difficult.
Kent, anything else on the impact of the Sunday night storms before we switch to FarmFest?
No, I think we kind of covered it. We kind of got into the crop insurance. And
all right, well, let's talk about FarmFest, which is now less than a month away. You're very much involved with putting together programs throughout the three-day event. So tell us about the lineup for this year.
Well, we're kind of excited this year. Of course, it's a non-election year, so we're focusing on a few more issue-type forums. And FarmFest is August 1st, 2nd, and 3rd at its usual site at the Gilfillan site near between Morton and Redwood Falls. Or Morgan and Redwood Falls, excuse me. This year, our feature forums on the first day, we're going to be looking at addressing the rural healthcare dilemma in Minnesota with our 10:30 forum. We got Emily Piper, the Minnesota Department of Human Resources Commissioner, and several other people on a great panel there to discuss the healthcare dilemma in Minnesota and the Midwest and big issue out there. That afternoon, we're going to focus on strategies for farming in challenging times. Certainly, we're dealing with tight profit margins, and Dave Fredrickson, Commissioner of Agriculture, will be there. Paul Anderson, who's chair of the State House Ag Committee, and some other experts in the business of farm management with the University of Minnesota, and also the Farm Business Management Group out of the Technical College System, and Bob Worth, who long a Minnesota soybean grower from out in Lake Benton, will be on there as well. Then we move to the middle day, and we got a National Ag Policy Roundtable at 10:30 in the morning. That's on August 2nd. Zippy Duval, President of American Farm Bureau, will be joined by some other representatives who sit on national boards from the state of Minnesota with farm organizations and commodity groups. That afternoon, we have a forum titled Transitioning to the Next Generation of Farmers. And we got a great panel of a mixture of farm operators as well as some folks that work with farm operators talking about some of the opportunities and some of the challenges as we move from one generation to the next in farming. And then Thursday, normally we kind of wind down on Thursday, but we got a pretty big Thursday this year at FarmFest, the final day, August 3rd. That morning from 10 till noon, we'll have one of the six locations across the country of the U.S. House Ag Committee of their Farm Bill listening sessions be titled The Next Farm Bill Conversations in the Field. be hosted by U.S. House Ag Committee Chairman Michael Conway from Texas and ranking member Colin Peterson from Minnesota. And we've heard indications that several members of the House Ag Committee will be in attendance from the upper Midwest as well as a few from out of the area. And there will be opportunities for those in attendance to sign up to address the U.S. House Ag Committee and what their thoughts are on the Farm Bill. And we wrap up, of course, on Thursday, as we traditionally do. We'll be recognizing about 75 County Farm Families of the Year at 1:15 that afternoon.
Kent, briefly, when you look at the forums, like the Farm Bill discussion, also the National Farm Policy conversation, as far as issues that you would anticipate to be the biggest discussed, and I know that's fluid because you're going to have feedback from people that come to FarmFest, but what would you envision as numbers 1, 2, 3, and 4 as far as what will be discussed, Farm Bill, Farm Policy?
Well, I think with the Farm Bill, and probably the same with Farm Policy, obviously, you know, the commodity programs will be addressed there that are included in the Farm Bill, the Arc County program, and if that needs to be tweaked. Right along with that, I think ranking near the top is crop insurance. We just talked about crop insurance and the importance of it when we have these crop losses. And the administration and some members of Congress have kind of proposed some pretty dramatic changes to crop insurance, like limiting the amount of the premium subsidy or getting rid of the harvest price option that most farmers utilize in their revenue protection policies. So I'm guessing that'll be a big discussion as well. And I think conservation programs, also part of the Farm Bill, we're at the max, 24 million acres in the CRP program. There's a lot of momentum, I think, to increase that. Of course, that increases the budget. And, you know, on all of these proposals, the budget comes into play. Beyond the Farm Bill, I think certainly rural health care, which is one of our forums, is a big issue. Trade agreements, NAFTA and other agreements affecting agriculture. And not that it's as big in some areas of Minnesota, but certainly it is in certain industries, and nationwide is the whole immigration policy and how that impacts agriculture. And of course, I think some of the environmental and water issues, even with WOITIS kind of slowed down a little bit, is still out there on the front burner for a lot of folks.
Well, what I typically do if I'm curious about FarmFest, I'll just go to Google and type in for this year 2017 FarmFest, and that takes me to kind of a one-stop shop webpage with all the information, a way to get tickets for the three-day event. Any other recommendations as far as for people that would like to find out more about FarmFest this year?
I think that's a great idea. You go to the website, all the information not only on the forums, but like you say, how to get tickets, if you want to rent a cart or whatever you want to do. And I guess the other thing with FarmFest, again, I think the exhibit area is pretty well sold out, so it's a great place to see kind of what's happening in agriculture.